In preparation for coming to the Lord's table, we will examine verses 23 through 26 of chapter 11. First Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 26. I'll hear God's word. For I received from the Lord what I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. The title of the sermon today is simply, In Remembrance of Me. And that obviously comes from this text. And you'll notice twice in that short passage, we are told to observe the Lord's Supper in remembrance of him. And in this, we see one of the central meanings of the sacrament. This command comes directly from Christ to do this in remembrance of him. And this begs the question, what does it mean to remember Christ? What does it mean to do this in remembrance of him? I mean, how do you do something in remembrance of somebody else? On the surface, it almost seems too simple to ask, but what does it mean to remember Christ? I mean, are we just calling something to mind? Is it just recollecting something? I mean, think about how we use the word remember. We say, remember to feed the dog. And what we really mean is, don't forget to feed the dog. And that's really how we define remembering. It's just the opposite of forgetting. But when we look at the biblical idea of remembrance, we find something that is much deeper than just calling something to mind, just not forgetting something. Rather, biblical remembrance envisions an act of worship, a spiritual discipline. So today, our goal will be to examine the three different facets of biblical remembrance to answer the question, how we remember Christ in the Lord's Supper. So let's do that. First, remembering Christ involves listening to God and obeying his commandments. Listening to God and obeying his commandments. Again, you will notice that twice we are told to do this in remembrance of him. And again, this is not just recollecting something about Christ. This is not just recollecting him, but rather it's an adherence to him. So let's look at a few examples. And Psalm 119 is rich with examples. Verses 52 and 55. Verses 52 say, "I remembered your judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself." And then in verse 55, "I remember your name in the night, O Lord, and keep your law." And here we have this idea of remembering, and it is defined for us. Now, you will notice in verse 55, in verse 55, there is a parallelism. And you see this often in Hebrew. And a parallelism is basically two lines that are basically saying the same thing in two different ways. And you'll notice that remembering your name in the night, in verse 55 there, is equated with keeping God's law. Remembering his name is equated with keeping his law. So we see that the biblical idea of remembrance involves listening to the Lord and obeying his commandments or keeping his law. And we see the same idea in the fourth commandment. We are told to remember something. We're told to remember the Sabbath day. And now, when we remember the Sabbath day, are we just calling it to mind? Do we wake up in the morning and remember the Sabbath day and then go back to sleep? No, remembrance involves something more. We see what's involved in this remembrance. Remembering the Sabbath day means to keep it holy. 6 days we're to labor and do all our work, but the seventh day is to be a Sabbath. It's to be separated and set apart. And that involves obedience and action on our part. So we are here. You got out of bed and you gathered today because remembering involves listening to God and obeying His commandments. So it's simple. We listen to what God says and we respond in obedience. And parents, you understand this. You know, it's first of all a challenge to get your children, first of all, to listen to you. And then the next step is for them to obey what they have heard. And it's the same with us. I mean, we could be indifferent to God's word, or we can listen to it and not act upon it. So we must listen to His word and we must respond in obedience. And again, this envisions an act of worship. So as we approach the Lord's table and we do so in remembrance of Christ, we are renewing our pledge to obey and listen to God. But as we come to the Lord's table making such a pledge, we must at the same time acknowledge that we can't fulfill this pledge in and of ourselves. So we come pledging our obedience while at the same time trusting that Christ will fulfill this pledge within us. So there's an element of faith involved here. And that brings us then to the second facet of remembering Christ. Remembering Christ in the Lord's Supper involves turning to Christ in faith and for faith. Turning to Christ in faith and for faith. Again, in verse 24 of our text, he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In Psalm 22:27, we see this theme of remembrance once again. And we see that it is given substance. So again, what does it mean to remember Christ? Listen to Psalm 22:27. Listen to what is equated with remembering. "All ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all families of the nations shall worship before you." Here again, we see another parallelism, multiple ways of saying the same thing. And this time, remembering the Lord is equated with turning to Him and worshiping Him. So when we approach the Lord's table, we do so with faith in Christ. This is an act of worship. We receive the sacrament by faith, trusting that the Lord will make an effectual means of strengthening us in our faith. And we were reminded last week that our faith is not some ambiguous thing. It's not something that just is out there. We talk about our faith as some undefined thing. But rather it has an object, it has substance. That faith is a belief in something. It is a conviction of a truth. And Paul alludes to this in 2 Timothy 2:8. Again, using the idea of remembrance. In 2 Timothy 2:8, he writes, "Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel." So again, we are called to remember. And here, Paul equates remembering with faith. We are to remember that Jesus was the Messiah who was born of the seed of David, who lived in perfect obedience to God's law, who died for our sins, who was raised from the dead. This is the gospel. This is what we are to remember. And by remember, Paul means we are to trust in these things. We don't just call them to mind, we believe in these truths. So as we approach the Lord's table, we do so turning to Christ in faith and for faith. In faith, we approach the Lord's table, remembering the content of our faith, the person and work of Christ, and we receive and rest upon him. But we also approach the table for faith. And no matter where we are in our faith, we are not where we should be. We are all people of little faith. And thankfully, the Lord knows this and he understands this. And that is why he gives us the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, to strengthen us and build us up in our faith. And it's one of the purposes of the Lord's Supper. It is designed to give us greater faith in Christ. So seek greater faith this day. Approach the table in faith and for faith. Now finally, we see that remembering the Lord at his supper involves proclaiming and embracing Christ. It involves proclaiming and embracing him. In verses 25 and 26 of 1 Corinthians 11, we read these words. In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Well, you'll notice there the strong covenant language. Our Lord says that the cup is the new covenant in his blood. So the Lord's Supper is a very vivid symbol for us of the covenant of grace. And as we approach the Lord's table, we must remember that we do so embracing Christ as our covenant head or our covenant representative. Joel Beakey, in his introduction to Herman Witsius' work, The Economy of the Covenants, wrote this simple statement, which I think is very helpful. He says, quote, "Faith in Jesus Christ is accordingly the embracing of the covenant. And the Christian life of glorifying God has at its heart covenant communion between the Savior and sinner." So what he expresses there, I believe, is important, that our faith, within our faith, there's the central aspect of embracing the covenant and what it means. It's a truth that we must understand, brothers and sisters, a truth that we must embrace. That as the God-man, Christ was our covenant representative. He fulfilled the law when we could not. As your representative, his perfect obedience to that law has been credited to you. And likewise, we are by nature covenant breakers. We have rebelled against God. So Christ then, as our representative, as our covenant head, paid the penalty for our sin and guilt. And as he says here, this covenant has been sealed in his own blood. So we have to remember this, friends, that we are either represented by Christ in the covenant of grace, or we are represented by Adam in the covenant of works. If you have not trusted Christ, then Adam is your representative. And you have no hope of salvation because you have neither the ability nor the desire to fulfill God's law. But if you are in Christ, he is your representative. He has fulfilled the covenant of works on your behalf. He has succeeded where you have failed. And he has brought reconciliation between you and God. So as you approach the table this day, embrace Christ as your covenant representative. For he said very vividly, "This is the new covenant in my blood." In addition to embracing Christ as our covenant head, remembering Christ in the Lord's Supper is also a proclamation of him. Notice verse 26. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So what does it mean to proclaim the Lord's death in the supper? A proclamation is basically an announcement of something. It's a declaration. So we are to declare or announce the Lord's death. So what does that mean? Well, the phrase there, the Lord's death, it's a figure of speech. It's a part that represents the whole. Well, Paul is not calling us just to remember the Lord's death alone. But that statement, remembering the Lord's death, implies that we remember everything about Christ. All that he has done. His life, his suffering, his death, his words, his resurrection. So how do we proclaim him in the supper? Well, when we partake together, we first of all proclaim the Lord's death to our own hearts. We remember everything that is involved in the Lord's death, what he has done for us, the salvation that he has brought to us, what he has done in our own lives, how he has transformed us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. So we proclaim his death to our own hearts. But in addition, when we partake, we also proclaim Christ to one another within the church. It's a reminder to us that we are a people who have been bought with Christ's own blood. In a way, it's a reminder of who we are. It was his death that secured our redemption. And in Titus chapter 2, Paul reminds us that Christ redeemed us with a purpose. And that purpose was to purify for himself a people who are his very own. So we are to proclaim that to one another. Finally, in the Lord's Supper, we proclaim Christ to the world. Think about it. The wicked world for 2,000 years has been trying to forget Christ. It is almost as though that is their mission, to forget Christ. And what the church has in the Lord's Supper is a quiet but perpetual reminder of the mighty work of Jesus. It reminds the world of the Savior and King of all. And it will be a reminder to the wicked world of Jesus and his work until he comes again. A simple commandment before us today. Do this in remembrance of Christ. That remembrance is more than just the opposite of forgetting. It involves listening to God and obeying his commandments. It involves turning to Christ in faith and for faith. And finally, it involves embracing Christ as our covenant head and proclaiming him. So whether or not you are partaking with us today, approach this time with a sober remembrance of Christ. Listen to him this day. Endeavor towards new obedience. Examine yourselves. And as you do, you will no doubt be confronted by your sin. But when you are, remember Christ. Turn to him in faith and for faith. Remember Christ. Embrace him as your covenant representative. Proclaim him to yourself, to one another, and to the world. Jesus said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it, do this in remembrance of me."